Hi everyone, and welcome to Keyframe, the Geek Show's dedicated animation podcast. We deal with anime, cartoons, stop motion, puppetry, everything like that. Mainly anime though. My name's Rob, and joining me today are Mark.
Hello.
And Tucky.
Hello.
How are you guys today?
Good, good.
I'm starting a new diet. I was walking with my daughter over a bridge in Sunderland, and she turns to us and goes, oh, I thought there was a train going beneath the bridge and that because of the shaking, but it's you. It's like, you know you're fat when you get mistaken for a passing train.
Oh, God.
So the diet's on and...
Wow. Oh, God.
Double weight.
I'm just picturing, you know, in the movies when they do the glass of water and the shake.
We're going to have a Tucky training montage.
Yes, that's what we need.
There will be, because I'm thinking of doing one where like I slim down to get into a cosplay that I've always wanted to cosplay, but I've always been too fat to do, which at the moment's like 99% of cosplayers out there anyway.
Yeah.
So thinking of doing a little YouTube thing for SunnyCon, but because usually it's one of the things where it's like, oh, I'll do it, but I never get around to doing it.
Is there anywhere in Sunderland that has like loads of steps you can run up?
Silkswith.
You can run up Silkswith. You can run up and down the ski slope.
Yep.
No, it has to be steps because it has to be like the Rocky training montage, doesn't it?
No, there's steps there. There was, because it's like you've got to go up a hill, then along a bank, and then there's these steps that lead right the way back down to a pond. And it's not like at the top of it there's a statue or anything. There's just like despair and mud.
Oh, right.
So Tucky's going to be watching all this sports anime to try and hype himself up and get fit.
No,
I think on an exercise bike watching some kind of fluff.
Are you just gonna get run fat by run? And what's that?
No, not having some guy with a spatula spankers while I run down the road. That's so kinky for me.
Exactly.
He's gonna do the one punch man regime. What was it? Yeah. 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and
100 squats, and a 10k run.
Yeah. If somebody steps out of line at SunnyCon, he's just gonna knock them out.
I could probably do that, but my 10k time's like about an hour and 20 minutes at the moment, so.
Yeah, I think mine's slightly longer than yours.
I don't even think I could run 10k. I think I'd just give up halfway.
I could walk 10k. I know that.
Oh, I didn't even do that.
Yeah, exactly. I can walk 10k on a flat on a level ground.
Everywhere's within walking distance if you can be bothered.
Yes.
I could walk to the car and drive it. That's slightly different.
Take you to a motel room and then take it off in private. I thought we were going into centrefold.
Oh, God. Mark, you are not cosplaying as a centrefold.
I am not.
Now I've just got images of Mark in, you know, that Hasselhoff pose.
Come on and jump in my car.
I was going to do a Hasselhoff cosplay next year. You've ruined the surprise.
Oh, you should. Do it. Do it. You know you want to do a Hasselhoff cosplay.
I've done the chairman from prison school. It's kind of the same character.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's so.
He wasn't at the Berlin Wall singing drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
That we know of.
Hasselhoff's drunken rendition of Rock You Like a Hurricane.
History's weird, man. Anyway, animation.
Yes.
We're talking about anime, aren't we? And animation. I forgot we were an animation podcast for a second there.
You thought we were a Hasselhoff podcast.
Oh,
the
our people, if you are from Germany, I know how much you love them. We will slip some Hasselhoff in at some point.
Oh,
somehow.
God. Have you seen the music video they did to Guardians of the Galaxy with like the cast members in the Hoff?
Yeah. Because he kept telling people his dad was David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. The music video they did, it's so 70s, but it's so amazing. You got Dave Bautista in these tight sequin pants and wings. And a big perm hairdo. Just like,
probably not the weirdest he's ever looked.
I was just watching it. I was like, there's something strangely captivating about this. Oh, anyway, we have animation to talk about. And we're going to start off with something that is... almost as captivating as a lava lamp, almost.
Is this me, is it? Yes. I've managed to delve back into Gundam Hell and feed my addiction with not one, not two, but three Gundam movies. Yes, we're getting there.
Are we going to have to take you back to Gundam Rehab?
Yes, because there's not another Gundam release for a few months now, and it's like, I need some more.
He's going to be useless to us. He's going to be useless to us for a while, Tucky.
That's all right.
Actually, seeing that there's a Gundam game out in a few weeks' time, I might buy that just to buy the time until I can
nail it. Have you not got the beta version?
I haven't gotten it. I've been busy, so I kind of remembered about it. It was like someone tagged us in, and it was just like, yeah. I was just like, crap, I forgot about that. It finishes tomorrow, doesn't it? So
I've just downloaded it today, and I'm going to have a go on it tonight. It takes me mind off the Sword Art Online crap that I've got to go through.
Well, there's a new Sword Art Online game coming out as well, so...
Yes, there is.
I'm probably done with them for now. Kirito can sort it himself, because not having my help anymore.
How far are you with your Hollow realization? Oh, God, that works as well.
Well, about three trophies away, but the thing is, the trophy maps online say you need to complete 80 Hollow missions to get the trophy. But when they've moved it over from the Vita to the PS4, you now have to do 128 of them. So I'm struggling to find the time and the will, but I'm that deep in it, I need to finish it.
Okay. Anyway, we were talking about Gundam.
Yes, until we slightly derailed it with Gundam-related video games and Sword Art. So yeah, Mobile Suit Gundam, the original Gundam series, has been released into a trilogy of anime movies to try and cut down the time in, but it kind of doesn't because they are still long as out.
Yeah.
So yeah, Gundam, if anybody doesn't know, is, well, the first one is Mobile Suit Gundam, and that takes place, I wouldn't say it's not the start of the whole timeline. I mean, I know there's a lot of Gundam series that came afterwards, which would take place before.
Yeah.
But this was the first one they released.
Yeah, this introduced the idea of new types and introduced the gun, you know, the metal Gundanium or whatever it is.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those ones where it's like everyone knows what Gundam is, but not many people have actually seen the original Gundam. They've just seen a Gundam series. And I really like it. This was what got me into Gundam properly. But honestly, wow, this... like, I'm talking about Gundam, Mobile Suit Gundam on a whole here, not just these films, but this series just pushes so many buttons for me in the right way. It's got just about everything I look for in an anime. And being able to re-watch them at a more palatable way of watching it, because the original Gundam series is, I believe it's 58 episodes long.
Yeah.
It does take a while to get through it, but each film's probably about 2 hours. I mean, overall, it totals about 6.5 hours to watch through them, so it is slightly easier to get through these than it is to watch the anime again. And basically, the gist of the story is there's this huge war going on between the Earth Federation and the Principality of Zeon, which are the bad guys in this version of it. And it more or less focuses on Amuro Rei, who kind of finds himself caught up in the whole conflict.
Yeah.
And he kind of finds himself being put in charge of piloting this prototype mobile suit known only as a Gundam. And
is it by accident that he gets involved?
Yeah, if I remember right, he's kind of just like fighting for his life, and he's just like, that's just kind of like laying around, say, a prototype, so they haven't really used it. And he kind of just gets in to try and like protect himself.
Because I remember they basically ripped off the beginning bit of Gundam for Zone of the Enders, you know, the video game.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what they did for Zone of the Enders, was have the kid just find the mech lying around, climbs in to protect himself, and it just starts up and he starts being able to use it.
Yeah, I think they've done it in a few others as well. I mean, it's usually the default way of introducing the character to the Gundam or the mech or whatever. I mean, I know they kind of did the same with Gurren Lagann as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but they also did kind of the same in Megas XLR.
Yeah.
Which I found hilarious.
So, yeah, Amuro kind of joins up with the White Base, which is kind of a few other recruits, and they end up just kind of fighting for fighting for their lives, fighting for the country or their beliefs. And the enemy is just like after them all the time because obviously they've discovered that the Gundam is kind of like the thing that could proper knock them really because they've all got Gundams. But
yeah, they developed it. I think it was the Federation. You know, the Principality of Zeon developed the Gundams first, if my timeline is correct. They developed it first, and the Earth Federation, they stole a Gundam from them, a prototype Gundam from them, and they used it to build their own Gundams so they could actually hold their own.
Yeah, and basically the whole series is just kind of Amuro learning how he's going to have to step up. He's going to be the one to pilot the new type Gundam. He has got backup, and there's a few other characters who have kind of like other parts of like the mobile suit. But it really, most episodes or most of the film is just all of these skirmishes with Amuro and various other characters against Zeon. And it really goes in depth with them. I mean, these films, they are telling the story at a slightly quicker pace. They do cut things.
Yeah.
But unlike a lot of other anime recap films where they'll recap an entire 12 episodes into like an hour, this is like I don't even know how long it takes to watch the original Gundam. I'm assuming it's about 10 hours.
Oh, more than that. I mean, you're talking like 58 episodes.
58, yeah. So it's still going to be like 10, 15 hours. It, 6 hours. And when I was watching it, they didn't skip a lot of stuff that I kind of was sat there thinking, oh, they've skipped it. A lot of this was kind of just like, oh yeah, I remember this bit. This is one of my favorite bits and stuff like that. So I was actually, when I watched it, I was like, I couldn't pinpoint what they'd skipped. And that's kind of what you want in a recap film.
Yeah, when you can watch the film and actually get the full story and not actually miss out any important bits.
Yeah, because if this was a single film, there'd be no point watching it. You might as well just re-watch the whole series because you know you're not going to get the full story. Whereas this does a really good job of telling the story at a slightly quicker pace. I believe there is one or two arcs where they kind of do kind of just skim over them quite quickly. There's a few characters where they kind of pop up and then they disappear as quick as they came around. But yeah, I mean, everything about this was, I just loved. It's really good. And one of the things I love about this, especially compared to a lot of other anime, is how they handle death.
Yeah.
A lot of the enemies, they are fighting for what they personally believe in, and so are the allies. And it's not going to be one of these ones where you're going to find either everyone dies or nobody dies. There's characters who die or kind of just appear for 20 minutes or so, but they appear and they contribute enough that you do genuinely care about them. A lot of the characters genuinely just die because it's a war.
Yeah, I think
nothing more than that. There's one character where she starts off as a spy. She's a spy for Zeon. She ends up on like the white base, and she kind of has a turn of like a change of heart, and she changes her mind. But unfortunately, since she kind of changes her mind, she is killed off rather quickly. And it's not a case of like, oh yeah, she did something bad, we're going to kill her. It was a case of, yeah, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, unfortunately, and that's just kind of how it works. But even the villains were really well done. There's a reason why Char is one of the most popular characters especially in Gundam. I would probably say in anime.
Oh, he's easily one of the most popular characters in anime.
Yeah, he's
who doesn't like Char Aznable?
Yeah, he's like one of the villains, well, anti-heroes maybe, who kind of like everyone just seems to really like. Even the other ones there, Rambaral, he was a character who kind of believed in what he was, what he did, and he was kind of there for, because he loved Gundams. He loved fighting,
yeah,
piloting the Gundams, and he ends up killing himself in a suicide attack because he knows he's not going to be much use without that particular Gundam in operation, and he just kind of tries to go out.
Yeah. I mean,
in a blaze of glory.
The thing that I always found funny and also ironic is the fact that Amuro Ray is supposed to be the main character, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody loves Char instead. Everybody loves the Red Comet. And
I think everyone genuinely just enjoys Zeon more than
I don't think it's that. It's just Amuro's an unlikable character at the beginning anyway. And he doesn't really get much better. It's only until you have the whole thing with Lala Sun.
Yeah, and even that's then, when, that's like really, you know, towards the end.
That's towards the end, but the thing is, that's when you see Amuro's character start to change in a much bigger way.
Yeah.
Because he's basically, he's a new type, she's a new type, you know. Their eyes met across a crowded battlefield, and it is that kind of thing with them, isn't it?
Yeah, more or less. But even then, I mean, a lot of the other characters, especially the supporting ones, are like, it's just top-notch. They all seem to have a purpose. There's not many characters in there that kind of are just background characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy this. The only thing I kind of, that put us off slightly, and I'm going to be called a filthy weeb for this, there was no dub on this, on the movies, whereas there was a dub on the original anime. And because I was kind of wanting just something to chill out and just kind of put on and just relax and watch it, I kind of felt I had to focus a lot more. That's just me being tired, I suppose, but... Because I kind of assumed, I was like, oh yeah, I want to rewatch Gundam. I was just like, oh, I'll just stick this on and I'll kind of chill and watch this. I was like, yeah, actually, this was actually a lot more of an effort than I was expecting because it's subbed rather than dubbed. But that's just me. But I've got to say, the package that this comes in is absolutely fantastic. It looks...
I just want to check. So this is actually Mobile Suit Gundam, the movies, not Mobile Suit Gundam Origin.
No, it's Mobile Suit Gundam movie trilogy.
Right, okay. I'm just checking that because they have done Mobile Suit Gundam Origin, which is kind of a retelling of the original story, isn't it?
Yeah, when I was at MCM Manchester, we managed to get a glimpse into watching some of Mobile Suit Gundam Origin Part 5.
Yeah.
And it is more or less a retelling of the original Gundam, but I think they're kind of just going through everything that happened in the mobile suit and expanding on certain bits.
Oh yeah,
especially for some of the characters where they're kind of just like, well, where did this character come from? Well, we only saw them when they were like with Zeon. We didn't see them apart from that, and they're kind of expanding on that. But yeah, from what I've watched, this was literally just the trilogy of movies, which is movie one, movie two, Soldiers of Sorrow, and movie three, Encounters in Space.
Excellent. So, recommend from you then?
Yeah, if you want to get into Gundam, this or the Mobile Suit Gundam, the original series, either way, definitely worth watching.
Fantastic. Right, we actually have kind of a movie double bill today, because Tucky and me have been watching something very different to Gundam.
Very different.
Yes. Do you want to take the lead on this one, Tucky? I'll just chime in.
Yeah, sure. So the movie we've been watching is Bakemononoko, or The Boy and the Beast.
Yes, directed by Mamoru Hosoda. And he's got another movie coming out in 2018 called Mirai. So this is his latest movie. Okay, let's start off at the beginning. Did you like it, Tucky?
Yes. Yeah, I did. It's very, very similar to his other movies. But that's not so much a bad thing. It's the sense of familiarity, and you know you're going to get a good movie.
Yeah, and his movies are generally about family. I think the one that represented that the most was Summer Wars.
Yeah,
and then after, well,
Wolf Children as well to an extent, but it's no, different
it's a,
kind of family.
It's a different kind of family dynamic. I mean, the reason why I choose Summer Wars over Wolf Children is because of the extended family. I mean, they're all gathering together to achieve a goal.
Yeah.
Whereas in Wolf Children...
for the grandma, and yeah. Whereas Wolf Children, it was kind of like single mother...
With two kids.
Doing the best she could.
Yeah, doing the best she could. And I'm not knocking the family unit in Wolf Children, because I have to say, I actually prefer, in terms of being a movie, I prefer Wolf Children to Summer Wars. But we'll talk more about that later. Boy and the Beast for now.
So is this... was it like Blu-ray for Manga Entertainment?
No, it wasn't. See, what? Here's the thing. Remember we were talking about Sony getting into anime?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sony bought a portion of Funimation. Well, somebody kind of beat Sony to the punch on quite a few things, especially the Ghibli movies, and that company is Studio Canal.
The French TV channel.
No, the French TV channel and international movie distributor and studio. Studio Canal have been responsible for a number of things. They currently do most of the Ealing comedies and stuff like that as well in their classics range, mm-hmm. but they're also responsible for the UK distribution of the Ghibli movies, or the Ghibli movies. So the Ghibli movies are under their banner, and also these movies as well. So we've got the Red Turtle coming up soon on Keyframe, so listen out for that. But The Boy and the Beast is one of the movies that falls under their banner.
Quite literally,
yeah. Look out for the Red Turtle. It'll be in front of your door, you know, just staring at you until you feel guilty and let it in. Then it'll eat all your
soup. It'll be the weirdest episode of Camp Here We'll Take It Away ever.
it'll just eat all your soup. And then vegetate on your couch. So, yeah, The Boy and the Beast is from Studio Canal. None of the other anime distributors even had a look in. And they won't get a look in because they can't take on the might of Studio Canal. And to be honest, I'm kind of happy about that. Because The Boy and the Beast, I'm not knocking Anime Limited or Manga Entertainment or MVM, but I think The Boy and the Beast kind of deserves a much bigger market representation than they can give.
Yeah, it does. It needs a more mainstream release because, I mean, this movie, it's not just one of those that can appeal to a niche. It can appeal to anyone.
Yeah.
It's got a much wider mainstream appeal than your normal anime is.
Yeah. The Boy and the Beast, it's basically about a kid called Ren. And his mum's passed away. His dad and mum divorced years ago, and he doesn't know where his dad is. And him and his mum were very close. He doesn't know what to do. He's like 9 years old, I think.
He's 9 years old. He's lost, like you say, he's run away from home. He doesn't want to go with his mother's relatives.
Yep.
Because they're kind of stuck up and whatnot. And so he's, I think it's in Shinjuku or Shibuya, actually.
Yeah, Shibuya, somewhere like that.
He runs away into the bustling crowds and whatnot, and kind of lives like a homeless kid, one of them kind of like lives, but it's not that way for long, thanks to a chance encounter.
Yeah, with Kumitatsu and Tatara. Kumitatsu is basically a bear-type man, as in, literally. See, the movie opens with this thing where it's talking about beasts, anthropomorphic animals. They live in a separate world to humans, and the biggest difference between humans and these beast folk is that the beast folk can become gods, whereas
they can become reincarnated as a god. Yeah. But only the Lord has that privilege.
Only the Lord has that privilege, but humans can't. Instead, humans have like a darkness inside that can turn them into monsters, which is why their worlds are separated. And
They're not entirely like separated, as in that's in that one. They are connected, kind of. It's kind of like a spirit world. Let's say
it is. And the thing is, there are elements of Spirited Away at the beginning of this movie. You know, when Ren first appears in the in Kumitatsu's world,
in the Jutengai in Shibutan,
yeah. Wherever it is, I can't remember. I think it's Jutengai, and
I think I'd watched it.
Yeah, I mean the world that he's in is called Shibutan, and I think the area he's in is Jutengai, and he's crawling through the market, and he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because
lovely little flowing animation.
Oh yeah,
of him like from a 9-year-old kid's like height, like that kind of eye line,
yeah,
running through like baskets, markets, trying to avoid people.
Yeah.
Beautiful bit of animation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the reason why he's ended up there is because Kumitatsu's basically said to him, become my apprentice, because he wants to be the Lord, and he's up against a character called Yozen, and Yozen also wants to be the Lord. Now, the two of them are kind of equal in terms of their combat abilities, but Kumitatsu is a lot more rough around the edges, whereas Yozen is a lot more refined. And the Lord
put that down to the fact that Yozen has children and apprentices, yeah. Whereas Kumitatsu's, like you say, he's rough,
around
like loner.
Yeah, and the difference between the two, the Lord basically tells Kumitatsu, get yourself an apprentice. And so Kumitatsu is looking for an apprentice, but nobody stays with him for more than say, even an hour. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I picked up on, which makes my opinion of this movie deviate slightly from the normal opinion. But I'm going to go for you, Turkey. You give me your opinion first.
What about the movie as a whole?
About the movie as a whole.
Sorry, go ahead.
Starting off there and about the movie as a whole.
Right, well, it's like I say, you got to touch on the student and apprentice kind of relationship. The way the relationship works between them are they are both very flawed characters. Obviously, like, you know, a 9-year-old kid, you can excuse, but Kumatetsu's kind of like he's strong. He's been alone all of his life. He's got a very small friend circle, and it's like one of them things where they balance each other out.
Yeah, Kumatetsu's kind of like a child himself, as in a lot of ways as well, isn't he?
Yeah, it's commented upon by Yozan where he's like, oh, but you've got an apprentice, but you're a child yourself, and it's more the mannerisms. Like, he's brash, he's messy, he eats raw egg with rice. You know, I don't know how childish that is, but that's you know, a Western point of view. Egg and rice, raw egg and rice might be good. I don't know.
But, depends how hot the rice is. If the rice is piping hot and you pour the egg over it, it basically cooks the egg.
Yeah. But like I said, it's the relationship between Rene and Kumatetsu. I feel like the progression's kind of rushed, but it's done. Like, you know, the battle montage, the fighting. You know, you've got the seasons passing in the back and whatnot. And you don't really get to see much more than just like the montage.
Yeah.
Whereas you could have had like small little points of highlight, like, oh, this happened and it made them grow. That happened and I feel like it could have done good as a 12-part like series.
Yeah.
Rather than just like a 2-hour movie, because there's a lot more scope of what they could have done for the movie. But like I say, I can understand like the whole rushing it because of it just being a 2-hour movie, but the whole relationship between both of them, like I say, both very flawed characters, it kind of feels like they both benefit from each other. I think like that's what the Lord was getting at, but I don't know if he knew it'd actually work as perfect as it did, because Kumatetsu, he developed his personality and he even started learning in the process from Ren. Bit weird when like, because you got the 9-year time skip there,
yeah.
And it was a bit weird. I mean, the Lord's a bit of comic relief. Like, I've spent 9 years thinking on what I want to be reincarnated as, and I want to be reincarnated as the God of Decisiveness.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was kind of fun, but there was very little humor in it throughout. It was kind of like really serious all the way throughout.
Ah, I disagree. I found it hilarious.
There were
so many bits where I was actually laughing, and a lot of those had to do with the interactions between Kumatetsu and Ren, and just how childish both characters were. But the fact that
running around after each other, shouting and playing hiding like a child. You know, when a child's been scolded.
Yeah.
And they know they've done something wrong and they hide just round the corner.
Yeah.
The mastermind of hide and seek.
Yeah. Well, not just that. I mean, the fact that Ren keeps winning these arguments, because where Kumatetsu only behaves like a kid, Ren is actually a kid. So he has that child's logic, which Kumatetsu no longer has. And so Ren keeps winning these childish arguments simply because he's a kid. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I mean, the humour, it's just, I don't know, I don't really see it as humour. I just say it's like, oh, well, they're acting like kids.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think it was meant to be funny in the way that, say, a Gintama is meant to be funny. I think it's there, and, you know, if you find it funny, then it's funny. But if you don't find it funny, then you don't. But that doesn't change the kind of the core nature of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's one of those that...
I didn't go into it looking for... I don't really see it as a comedy. It's more of like the slice of life, coming of age, friendship and progression, and there's a journey, but the journey's not like distance. It's in life and time.
Yeah.
That kind of angle.
Yeah, and that is there for a lot of it. I mean, I think we both agree, in terms of production, it was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That's his standard.
Yeah.
Very colourful, very fluid animation. I mean, I'd even go as far as to say as the English dub. Oh, John Swayze is Kumatetsu. He is the ultimate dad character voice.
Yes, he is. The English dub is really, really good. I'll be honest. You know that I generally prefer to watch subs.
Yep.
You know, it's just, I started off with anime when it was all subs and there were very few dubs. And so subs for me are, You know, they're a luxury. But I love the fact that John Swayze is playing Kumatetsu. He does so well in that role. And Eric Vale and Lucy Christian do amazingly well as Ren, both the kind of teenage...
Young Ren and... Yeah.
Yeah, teenage version, and Lucy Christian as the child version of Ren. Ian Sinclair as Tatara was brilliant. You know, his Kumatetsu's monkey friend, who's always complaining.
Yeah, he's... That's another thing with the character development. Even though there was like a 9-year skip, you'd think, oh, this character wouldn't get much development, but they actually did.
Yeah.
And like you say, his monkey friend there, first he was like, no, go back to the human world, kid, you're not wanted here. Like, really, really in his face about like not liking a human. And then, like, you know, further down the line, he's like, oh, you go do what you do, we look after you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so they've built like a bond themselves over that time as well.
Yeah. The other person who builds a bond with Ren over that time is the monk Hyakubo. The English version of that was done by Alex Organ, who I've not heard of.
Can't say he rings any bells with me either, but did a good job.
Yeah, did a very, very good job. And so I was quite impressed with that. But yeah, the English dub is very, very good. The effects, the audio effects and everything like that are very good. The music is brilliant. Yeah, the music.
Well, you can see why it's won like practically like clean sweep in 2015, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Japanese Animation of the Year, the Movie Critics Award.
Yeah, it's got so much praise from critics and from general cinema goers. And
Rotten Tomatoes is like 91% or something. So
90% approval rating with an average rating of 7.5 out of 10. And this is the thing about The Boy and the Beast. A lot of people have rightly given it a comparison to Spirited Away. And, you know, I do think the comparison does stand. It's not the same sort of film as Spirited Away, because in Spirited Away, Chihiro was basically, she didn't really have many people to rely on, and she basically had to find a way to stand up for herself. You know, she had people, she had friends, but she didn't have somebody who was like a parent figure. And The Boy and the Beast is very much about that parent. You know, that parent-child, that master-apprentice type thing. But yeah, my take on this is a little bit different because I've been reading a lot of Wuxia novels, and one of the things that struck me about the film is that there are two old Chinese proverbs which I'm pretty sure Mamoru Hosoda had in his mind when he made this film. The first one is master for a day, father for life.
Mm-hmm.
That shut everyone up, didn't it?
I've heard that one.
Most of the time it's translated as teacher for a day, father for life. And the idea is that anyone who teaches you for a day is a father figure to you for your entire life. But the simplest form of saying that, and the more martial form of saying that, martial being, you know, martial arts, the more martial form of saying that would be master for a day, father for life. And the other one would be the master teaches the apprentice and the apprentice teaches the master.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm damn sure Mamoru Hosoda had those two ideas in mind when he made this film, because this film is the epitome of those two adages.
Yeah, that's the main focus of the film as well. It's not the battle for who gets to become lord. It's not like the surprise or the twist, and it's father son master apprentice kind of angle that they go for. It's something. I mean, even though it's like they end it with like a kind of literal metaphor. I know that sounds oxymoronic, but
yeah,
the sword in your heart, well, kind of thing, and he literally becomes the sword in his heart.
Well, the sword in his soul.
Yeah, the sword in his soul. Yeah.
But the thing is, I liked that because it was such a throwaway reference at the beginning. It was such a throwaway reference when Kumatetsu says it.
You could think it was actually just like bad teaching.
Yeah. It was so throwaway, and then it becomes such an important thing at the end of the movie. And that's kind of a hallmark of Mamoru Hosoda's abilities as a writer and a director. The fact that he looped that thing that we all thought at the beginning was such a throwaway thing. And I thought that was just so well done. But I've got to be honest, I liked the Lord. I liked the Lord with his eyebrows and his mustaches, even though he was a rabbit. And just the fact he kept...
The other lords were canny as well.
The other lords were brilliant, you know, especially the seal.
Wisdom from them.
Yeah, you know, what is strength? And I love the seal, how he's just a fisherman, and he hooks Tatara, and Tatara's flying towards his open mouth. And he's like, I make a point of not eating guests, and he's just eating Tatara's claws. But yeah,
it was because I mean, when you think of like a world of beasts, you wouldn't think like a seal, a rabbit, you know, that them kind of thing. You would have expected like the bear or the ox or the, you know,
or the boar, some or kind the of tiger, strong beast like that. Yeah, I love
a Froger for a six with it, just sticking like this little rabbit. I mean, obviously he's got skills because he can practically teleport or move at quite a speed.
I just love
to confuse everyone.
Yeah, I just love the fact that he's kind of he's gone way past Batman level of disappearing. he just disappears from, you know, he might be right in front of you, then he's behind you, then he's over there, then he's over here. You're like, what the? Just stay in one place. This is not some weird cheese dream. Oh, 2001. But yeah, I think The Boy and the Beast is, it's a great film for the whole family. I'll be honest, especially for the men and the boys in the family. I'd say this is a film that's really for the dad and the son to watch together.
And you say that, and I was watching it with my son.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic because he's at that age where he's obsessed with his Wii U and he's got Minecraft, and he sits there and he thinks he's on YouTube. And even though there's no cameras filming or anything, he just sits there and he narrates every single thing he's doing. And it's annoying. And I put Boy and the Beast on, and he sat down next to us and watched, turned the Wii U off and like flung it to the side. And he sat and he watched with us. And to get my son's attention, especially when he's got Minecraft in his hand, that is quite a feat.
Yeah. I mean, it is that good a film. But then again, Mamoru Hosoda is making a hell of a name for himself with his films. I mean, he started off with the Digimon movie, and then he went on to The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which has been redone several times. But The Girl Who Leapt Through Time was one of those. It's one of those movies where if you haven't seen it, you probably don't fully understand it. And explaining it,
but you can't say, because it's in like the bargain basement of anime. It's like there with Spirited Away and Ghost in the Shell. You know where you go into a store and Akira as well. Like, you know, the anime is where they've mass produced them at one point,
yeah,
but the demand wasn't there, so they've got like this too much stock, and so they're like, oh, we'll just stick a fiver on, it's only anime. And then when somebody like me walks in and goes, oh, £5 for that, get in.
Yeah, but this
is £5 for that and Summer Wars all in one box.
Yeah, The Girl Left Through Time, like I said, if you haven't seen it, you're probably not going to understand how the time travel aspect works as much as somebody who has seen it, because it goes through the whole, I mean, the whole idea of The Girl Left Through Time is purely the butterfly effect. Small changes have big effects, and not the effects that you actually imagine. And in The Girl Left Through Time, I forgot, he did the One Piece film, the Secret Island film, in between Digimon and this.
My favourite One Piece film.
Sorry, I forgot, Mark. But, you know, ignoring that, because there's loads of One Piece films. Yeah, when you've got Makoto from the movie, she keeps going back in time and back in time and back in time, trying to fix the problems that she's caused, some of which do involve the death of people that she knows. You know, she keeps going back and keeps going back, trying to fix it and failing. And the more she goes back to try and fix things, the worse things get.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the issues that I had with series like Steins Gate. And
well, that was more of a linear time travel. It was basically like just go back and undo everything that you've done.
Yeah, but the thing is, the butterfly effect and the grandfather paradox would come into play on those occasions. So in order to undo everything, you would literally have to undo everything. And that means even if you bumped into somebody, you would have to undo that. Even if you didn't know who that person was, even if you bumped into them, you'd have to do that, because that, again, could have unforeseen consequences. Do you see what I mean? So that's...
Yeah, there's a lot in time travel, which we could go on for ages. For.
Yeah, but we're not going to stick with time travel. We're going to move on. After he did The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, 3 years later, in fact, he came out with something that really, really got everybody. It basically caught everybody off guard. And it was effectively his new take on Digimon the movie, because that's literally what Summer Wars is. It's basically Digimon the movie, but done in his way, the way he wanted to tell the story all of this time.
Oh my god, it is.
He did it better.
Yeah. Did you just realise that now, Mark?
Yeah, I was like, oh, hang on, yeah, oh god, it is.
Oh, it's like one of the worst kept realisations in anime. I thought everybody knew Summer Wars is Mamoru Hosoda's proper version of Digimon the movie, only without all the Digimon, because he doesn't have to deal with the branding anymore, so he can do his own thing, and he can tell his story the way he wanted to tell it.
To be fair, I only watched Summer Wars, like, probably about 4 months ago.
And what was your opinion of it?
I really enjoyed it. To be honest, looking through his stuff, there's not a single thing that he's done that I haven't really enjoyed. I even have slight weird nostalgia for that Digimon movie, even if I watched it again and it was absolutely terrible.
Most of the stuff's award-winning as well.
Yeah.
I say Got the Left Foot Time, Summer Wars.
Yeah.
The Beast. All award-winning.
All award-winning. But Summer Wars, the thing is, Summer Wars was an amazing film where his... Because, you know, like Miyazaki loves to do environmental-based stuff. You know, he loves to talk about the environment. And that's a key theme in his movies, is about man and the environment and how the two should work together to resolve issues and how man should take care of the environment, yeah? Whereas Mamoru Hosoda's are very much based around the idea of family, you know? It wasn't as obvious in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, but in Summer Wars, family was kind of the major thing. You had the matriarch who knew everybody, including people high up in the government, and she was organizing things in order to counter this threat. And she was basically the ruler of this really extended countryside family. And then you got The Wolf Children, which is all about family. And I absolutely adore that movie. And as I said earlier, I love Summer Wars, but I do think Wolf Children is the better film.
It's got a much darker element to it than Summer Wars, where Summer Wars, you think of Summer Wars, it actually is, it's like summer.
Yeah.
It's, everything's bright, shiny, even when like times get bad. It's kind of like a happy outlook on it, whereas with Wolf Children, there's depression, there is loss, there is fear.
Yeah. Summer Wars is basically Digimon the movie meets War Games from the 80s, you know, the old Matthew Broderick movie.
Yeah.
That's basically Summer Wars. And the enemy of the big, bad, artificially intelligent supercomputer is a countryside grandma.
Yeah.
So that's the fight of the century, I'd say. Countryside grandma versus versus super AI.
But I just think it's wearing Apple now. There's just an old grandma waiting for Y2K to kick in or something.
Yes. But Wolf Children, I've got to say, and I'll be honest, I know The Boy and the Beast is a great movie, but I think Wolf Children pips it again. I think Wolf Children is still better as a movie. The Boy and the Beast is a lot more colourful, and it has a lot more liveliness to it than Wolf Children. Wolf Children is a much more serious film, and The Boy and the Beast has a lot more fun. It's a lot more outgoing. It's a lot more... It wears its hat on its sleeve a lot more. But I think that that can be to its detriment. I think the pacing in Wolf Children was a lot better than the pacing in The Boy and the Beast as well. What do you think, Tucky?
I'm in agreement there, yeah. I say the 9 month, like 9 year time skip, I should say, the whole montage and its way through time when I feel like there could have been a lot more done there. But to our movie, you know, if you wanted to do a 12 episode series, probably would have getting the go ahead for that instead, but still works in the end.
Well, I do have to agree with you. I think Boy and the Beast would have been so much better as a series rather than as a movie, you know. Or if you're going to do it as a movie, do it as a two-part film. So you have the first movie dealing with Ren as a child, and the second movie dealing with Ren as a late teens.
Yeah, that was some of the criticism I saw in other reviews of Boy and the Beast, that it starts off really good, and then after like the time skip, people think because he's trying to adjust back into the life in the human world. He's trying to learn to read. He wants to go to school. You know, he has like the he wants like the normal life in a way, but he's been brought up in the other world. So there's that conflict of interest within him. And when he finds his dad again, you know, you could do it as the two seasons. Like I say, there's a lot more they could have done there rather than just like, oh, the seasons are passing, he's slightly grown a little bit bigger. No, now he's bigger than the monkey and the monkey's not happy.
See, you know, that's the thing. you know, you could have basically ended the first movie with that montage, right? And then come into the second movie with that whole, now you're bigger than me. And you would have had to, you would have had a natural gap between the two movies, which would have factored in the time skip. And people would have been more accepting of the time skip at that point. Because we do that with normal, we do that with the live action movies as it is. I mean, look at the Star Wars movies, you know. You have, especially the original trilogy, where you have Anakin Skywalker as a kid, you know, Snotlaw's little kid in one movie. And then next thing you know, he's, what is his name? Hayden Christensen or whatever his name is. I can't remember.
Yeah, Hayden Christensen.
You know, he's that age in the second movie. And like, well, where did the intervening years go?
That's like Jesus. He was a kid and now he's an adult. Dale, we're up.
Yes. He spent all that time in the desert. What was he doing? We don't know.
Well, considering Google Maps here, it's like about 40 hours or something to walk through the desert. And he says he took 40 years or something. Or 40 days, I don't know. He's a weird one, is Jesus.
I prefer the Family Guy version. Tonight I'm turning water into funk.
I resurrected River Phoenix, but he ordained himself again.
Oh, we're heading into dangerous territory here.
A boss.
Sorry, I had the word blasphemy, and then all of a sudden I had Kenneth Williams in Carry On Caesar going, infamy, infamy. They've all got it, infamy. Which I think is the best joke in cinema history.
Biggest stickers.
Even better than bigger stickers and incontinent to your buttocks. Anyway.
Carry on.
Enough of the Python and carry on jokes. Oh, our brains are very odd, Tucky. You do realize this?
Yeah. Oh. Worse.
But yeah.
Because I'm out there selling drugs to kids.
Anyway. Mamoru Hosoda, I am curious about his new film, which is coming out next year, called Mirai. It'll be an interesting thing to see, because Mirai means dream, doesn't it? Oh, actually, no.
Means the future.
The future, sorry, yeah. What was the word for dream?
Following a four-year-old boy who's struggling to cope with the arrival of a little sister in his family, until things turn magical.
Does he ship her off to Hogwarts?
I don't know. A mysterious garden in the backyard of the boy's home becomes a gateway, allowing a child to travel back in time and encounter his mother as a little girl and his great-grandfather as a young man. So still around the family element there as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I got confused. I thought Mirai was a dream. It's not. You're right. It's future. Yume is dream. So, yeah. Confusion.
I wonder if it's going to end up like Futurama, where it turns out the boy's his own grandfather.
No, because they basically nicked that idea from Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
You know, our Rob or Ross, which is basically Uroboros.
Yeah, Boris.
Well, Lister turns out to be his own dad.
Oh, I need to rewatch Red Dwarf sometime.
So I don't think Mamoru Hosoda is going to go down that route. And I don't think he's going to go down the Back to the Future route as well, where his mum falls in love with the teenage version of him or something like that.
Oh, Calvin. There's got to be another time travel one as well, actually. Time travel families.
Yes.
That's his thing, time travel and families. Well, all he needs to do is do a live-action Jetsons or something. Live-action Jetsons meets the Flintstones.
No.
What's his name back on to be Fred Flintstone?
No. No. I don't think John Goodman would sign up for that.
Yabba dabba won't.
But the guy who played Hodor might. Do you know what I found amazing, though? Because if you watch any of the reaction videos to that particular episode of Game of Thrones, how many people are just like, oh my God. And the thing that impressed me the most about that episode wasn't the whole hold the door thing. It was the kid who played the young Hodor and his acting, because he was amazing.
Oh, young Willis.
Yeah. he was brilliant.
Hodor!
You know, the way...
And he got dirty as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was basically... He just basically starts having that fit, and you're like, that's so realistic. This kid has got serious talent.
Well, we know how he grew up to be. Yeah. Maybe he'll get a better acting job. Maybe if they redo the Goonies, he can be the new Chunk.
I think he'd be good. I think he'd be good as Chunk. But you can't redo
it. I'm not just saying that because he's just a fat kid. And...
Yeah, you're just saying that because he's a fat kid.
I'm not one to talk about weight at the moment, but, you know, Mr. Passing Train.
Boy and the Beast is, I think we can both say it's a recommend.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It sounds good. It sounds like one of those essential ones you're going to have to watch at some point. Be it now or when it's reduced down to £5 in a few years' time.
I don't think I'd call it essential. I'd say that your life might be better as an anime fan if you have watched it, especially if what you're into is, is a lot of the, a lot of the comedies or a lot of the shonen type stories. You know, maybe this is one of the films that will open your eyes to the fact that anime has a lot more to it than just those stories.
Yeah.
So it might be worth it in that case.
It's definitely a break from the norm.
Yeah.
From what we're used to. I mean, like this season as well, it's been this season, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's coming to an end, actually.
Mm, I know.
Eventually. Thank God. So we do it all again in October.
Yay!
Before then, we will talk about do a show about what we thought about about this season. But for now though, we are at the end of the show, so we're going to leave you for a week, and we'll be back next week with more animated stuff. Keyframe is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and all of our shows are available on Audioboom, iTunes, and various other podcast providers. And if you are listening to us through one of those services, then subscribe to Keyframe and the Geek Show Podcast Network, because we do have other shows on the network, like Four Panel and Literary Loitering and Cinema Eclectica and various other things, including the Geek Show itself, which is on hiatus at the moment, but will be back at the beginning of October. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and or alternatively, you can email us studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. And that's about it for the blurb. We also have a Patreon going on at the moment. So if you're a regular listener, then please show your support.
Yay.
So
we also have a YouTube as well.
Yes, we have a YouTube, which we'll be putting more stuff on as time goes by. We've got some stuff on there, and we'll be building our presence on YouTube. But until next week, I've been Rob.
I've been Mark.
Not being tucky.
We'll see you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I didn't get to put the hoff in again.
Come on and jump in my car.